News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Erwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Nearly 7 minutes after 8 o'clock now on Mobile Mornings. Good to have you along. In the 8 o'clock hour, where we turn up your voice, 251-343-0106. That's also the text line, and we'll go over some of those texts as we roll through the hour, including what cartoon character you think would be a great idea for President of the United States.
Yeah, so in our talks about, you know, the NATO summit, everything that's happening here in the city at the city council meeting yesterday, the two big talkers this morning, what cartoon character do you want to see as president? And also, what's the deal with this non-alcoholic beer becoming so popular? Athletic Brewing, which had $90 million in sales last year, they've valued that company at $800 million. And I've seen more and more people with these non-alcoholic beverages out and about. It's not really been something I've ever even tried. I just want to know, how many of you out there do drink the Athletic Brewing or other non-alcoholic beers? Why?
And I guess we're on the text line, they're kind of telling us it's changed, that these, they're brewed to taste like the craft brew.
Right. I guess the...
So people like the taste of certain beers.
The non-alcoholic technology has gotten really good, I guess. Their ability to brew it up.
Used to be O'Doul's. Mm-hmm. Also, we had someone on the text line who said he got pulled over by Marine Police, and he was trying to explain. It was a Coors non-alcoholic, which I don't remember that one.
But all of the different, you know, companies, which I think they're all basically under one or two major umbrellas when it comes down to it. But you had, like, you know, Heineken 0.0 or something like that.
I guess, yeah.
Bud has their own zero alcohol version.
I don't see them very often.
There's like a store I go to where I see.
You know, you've got the beer coolers now where you walk in, kind of beer cooler.
But to have $90 million in sales last year.
Yeah, I mean, they've got to be somewhere.
It's top 20 now among breweries, and they don't make alcoholic beer. So I would love to hear from you. I know some of you out there like these things, and I've never tried it. Just tell me more about it, why you drink it, and how it tastes. We'd love to keep that conversation going throughout this hour.
All right, so the NATO summit, it's going to be over before we're done. It's like, it's a three-day summit.
Mm-hmm.
It started yesterday.
Today's day two, so they'll be done by tomorrow evening.
If they're going to get things done here, and there's a lot on the table, it seems like there's a lot that they would want to address and or get done in only 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
So Zelensky's arrived in Washington on Monday night. The summit kicked off yesterday. We really don't have a whole lot of news from the summit. I guess something did happen last night where they got together, and Tuesday evening, U.S. and some of the NATO allies announced they're going to give Ukraine more Patriot batteries and additional systems to strengthen Kyiv's air defense against ongoing Russian aerial barrages. And Ukraine is also saying, please we don't want any restrictions on where in Russia we can assault with your weapons.
Right. They want more weaponry, of course.
And
they want
more leeway.
They want F-16 jets, too. And, the big ask is, hey, let us attack as deep within Russia as we want to.
Yeah.
And also, of course, the other big ask is they want to be in NATO. And it seems that it's been trending that way for some time. I guess in their communique, their platform they're establishing here, this year, they described Ukraine's path toward NATO as irreversible.
Hmm.
But there's also, of course, you had the report last week, I think, where they said, I think it was Biden who came out and said, Ukraine is too
corrupt.
Corrupt to be in NATO.
Who knows more about the corruption in Ukraine
than Biden? Well, Victoria Nuland might. I'll get to her here in a little bit and what she's had to say about this. But it's clear what Zelensky's aims are coming over here. And last year at the NATO summit, there was a bit more controversy because the communication, I guess, at that time between NATO and Zelensky was worse than it is now. And Ukraine felt a little burnt last year by the discussions at the NATO summit. So this year they've said they've tried to keep the lines of communication open a little bit more.
Was the summit here last year?
No, it was in...
I didn't think so.
It was overseas. I can't remember exactly where it was.
Here's my question for you. Here's the... I don't know if it's a $6 million question or what. But anyway...
Maybe $60 billion question.
When you have this autocrat like Viktor Orban, there's no telling how much money he's got in his account right now. So he's the guy from Hungary, and he's been to Russia. He's talked to Zelensky
in Kiev.
And then you were doing that story yesterday, and at that moment, he was touching down in China.
Yeah.
So it's like, wow. And of course, NATO and the European Union not happy with all of these independent moves by him.
Mm-hmm.
He's now the...
Hungary took over as the EU president. They do a rotating presidency for 6 months. Hungary's turn now. And Orban, of course, is the prime minister of Hungary. So he took it upon himself to, you know, try to work out at least a little bit further along the road of peace.
And then the U.S. came out and said, when you're... Well, not just the U.S., but I heard a quote from somebody like, no, when you're talking with Putin, that's kind of a disingenuous thing because he's in no way going, you're not going to get closer to peace. That's the stance of the U.S. and the Union.
Yeah, anyone who tries to have a discussion with Putin, you're immediately labeled a Russian sympathizer, mm-hmm. and that you're trying to appease Putin, whether it's Tucker Carlson and mm-hmm. in the interview he put out there, which was not edited, you know, full hour and a half, maybe 2 hours of that interview.
It was like a Putin lesson on Russian history is what it was.
Yes. And then Orban, who is the EU acting president, they get mad at him for even talking with Putin. They mm-hmm. said he was trying to appease him, and appeasing him doesn't work.
And then seeing that photograph of him and Xi in China, I was like, man, guy kind of gets around, unscheduled and unannounced until it actually happened.
Yeah, and then at the opposite end of, you know, this NATO summit, you had the Indian president, I think, Modi, mm-hmm. or Modi, mm-hmm. and he was meeting with Putin yesterday, gave him a big old hug, mm-hmm. and so Putin's kind of showing off his connections that he has in the rest of the world as this NATO summit goes down.
And you were saying, and I think you're right on with this, that none of this is by accident, right? That the NATO summit was on its way, and now it's here, and mm-hmm. all these actions are being now viewed by the world.
Yeah, there's a lot of gamesmanship yes. going on, of course, yes. and you could see it in the news this week as well. And whether it's the New York Times, the Washington Post, Wall Street Journal, CNN, Fox News, they all get hit with these leaks and sources that just kind of happen to come out the week of the NATO summit, where NATO will be encouraging, themselves and, of course, the taxpayers of their countries, that we need to go all in, even further in, on money for Ukraine and providing them with more weaponry and keeping this war going. I just saw a New York Times article yesterday, headline, U.S. officials say Russia is unlikely to take much more Ukrainian territory. And they describe in all of this how the spring and early summer offensive from Russia, they've taken some ground in eastern Ukraine, and they've gotten, you know, closer and closer to Kharkiv, which I think is the second largest city in the country.
Yep.
But New York Times, from some of their military sources, who mostly remain anonymous, say, actually, we don't think they're going to take much more ground. You also have a Wall Street Journal article that came out yesterday, headline, Russia seeks to boost Trump in 2024 election, according to U.S. intelligence officials. So, if you've been in this game long enough, which at this point, you know, if you've just been paying attention the last 6-8 years, it's no coincidence that these stories are coming out this mm-hmm. week. It's just, and maybe they're accurate. Maybe, you know, according to the New York Times, maybe Russia won't take much more Ukrainian territory. Maybe they are moving heaven and earth in order to help Trump win the presidency online. But I don't think it's a coincidence that they're putting these stories out this week. They're mm-hmm. doing as much as they can. And I don't think Russia and I don't think Putin are some savior. I think he's a really bad guy. But they're doing what they can to put him in the worst light possible
yeah.
for this week.
Yeah.
And also say, hey, this isn't over. Ukraine can actually win this. When everything I've read, and it's so hard to tell exactly what's going on over there, we do know there's been a ton of bloodshed on yes. both sides
yeah.
and that Ukraine is being pounded, their entire infrastructure is
yep.
being pounded day and night. You had the children's hospital that was bombed last week, then it resulted in, bombing on other cities as well. I think over 44 dead from all of that. They said that wasn't a coincidental timing on that too either
bad.
For Putin. But everything I've read has this, at best for Ukraine at this point, a stalemate on the current lines, and Ukraine doesn't seem to be taking back much territory. they're losing more and more men as this goes along. They're not losing as many men, apparently, as Russia is. But Russia has a lot more men to give to the war effort.
Yes, in spirit, I'm sure that they're probably releasing prisoners and stuff like that.
That's pretty much, it sounds like they're just taking people out of prisons, putting them on the front lines untrained.
These are not the most motivated soldiers, for sure. Right. That may be affecting it. And also, again, remember, I read that event, but the article, I forget where I read it, but in any event, the writer who's very, submerged in that event over there, that's like her beat, is that war.
Mm-hmm.
She simply said that the war ends when Russia leaves, that the Ukrainian people are fighting, they'll fight,
mm-hmm.
and they will continue to fight because they are motivated, and it is their land, and it's their country, and they're going to keep the fight up. It's the motivation of Russia, Putin, how long does he, at what point does he say, I think we got enough here. We're good to go. Mm-hmm. And do they keep the land and all of that stuff? But and also, I just read that Orban. I didn't realize this, but he's kind of breaking rank a little bit by what a European leader would normally do, and he's backing Trump in the election.
Yeah,
he's actually saying it out loud, where that's kind of not cool to not back the current U.S. president in a race like that. Well, I think just keep your nose out of it is generally what's done. Right?
All of these NATO leaders and allies of the United States, they don't want to upset either side,
right,
depending on who gets in office.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that is kind of a breaking of protocol for him mm-hmm. to do that. But mm-hmm. it's also what people expected. They have, in some ways, similar politics,
yeah,
for sure. But it seems like the end game for NATO, which is really the end game for the U.S., and they haven't put a whole lot out there. We know they're not really trying to talk with Putin about how to end the war. They just say over and over again, until Russia completely leaves Ukraine,
yeah,
even the annexed territories,
mm-hmm.
that this war won't end.
No so negotiation.
That leaves you with two end games. Either Ukraine loses all their people, and we say, well, that's that. We did what we could. Or this eventually evolves into NATO troops, going into Ukraine and helping to fight against Putin. That's the only two ways this appears it'll end, as long as Biden is in office and the NATO leaders continue on this path. And
when you say of the two options, it's trending that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's trending toward NATO involving itself in that way.
Yeah, I mean, just in the last few weeks, you've had Biden say that they can have limited airstrikes into Russia, mm-hmm. which was a moving of that red line. And, of course, Zelensky and Ukraine want even further strikes into Russia. But you also had, over the last week, in addition to the airstrikes, you had Biden say, basically, and this story wasn't massive, but that contractors, even American contractors, that they will soon, if not already, allow them into Ukraine to help out even more.
Yep.
And how far they help out, does that mean they'll have, their rifles in hand shooting across at the Russian front lines, or what exactly that role will be? But yeah, it's escalating a little bit at a time towards that being the case.
Yeah, it is. And it's just very interesting, this NATO thing and the European Union as well, how much sway they have. I mean, it's the fight's in their backyard, right? It's Europe's fight right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we shall see what sort of troops end up on the ground, and independence, like you said, as well, many of them from America. 820, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Well, we've seen certain talk show hosts, their opinions begin to change as events around. Bill Maher's a good example of that. Always very, very left, right? But that's what we always knew him to be. And you can see him not pleased with a lot of things going on the left, that he's outspoken about it.
Right.
And you have others that are on there, like Jon Stewart. You don't really see, I don't know. I haven't seen him. I don't watch a show, or I don't even know where you can find him. Apple TV?
Yeah, I think he's on Apple now.
So, but since the debate, it looks like Biden is now, he's fair game. This is Stuart on his show.
He'd been home for almost 2 weeks. He was jet lagged. How big is that f***ing jet?
That's the kind of laughter normally you would that audience would reserve that for a Trump joke,
right? A joke about a
conservative.
Yeah,
and he also played a clip of Biden from calling in the.
It was. Remember, he had two radio station interviews one day. One was in Philadelphia, where they gave the questions to the host.
Right,
she ended up leaving the company because of that. The other, I think, was a radio interview. It was like in New Hampshire or something like that, and I think that's where this cut came from.
Okay, so this is Joe Biden speaking, and he's just kind of trying to make his point about how he's the first to do this, first to do that, but he comes out sounding like he's a black woman or something. Here it is.
Well, I'm proud to be, as I said, the first vice president, first black woman, served with a black president.
I mean, it's not going well when those clips are played, and you can hear the audience reacting to it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just interesting that that's going on right now.
Right. Yeah. And I think Stewart has been one of these who has been, less afraid to go in on Biden over the last few years, but still, you know where his bread is buttered.
Sure.
Generally.
I mean, even in the clip that I saw, you know, what many on the left are really playing it up, and I guess they believe it. I don't know for sure.
They'll play those clips and laugh at Biden and everything, and they'll say, but he's still a better choice than...
But keep in mind what's looming. I think his, at the end of this, what he was saying was, look at the choices we have.
Mm-hmm.
We have that guy who's not fit for a bake sale, and you have Trump, who, of course, is painted in the worst possible picture. Maybe some of the actions.
The end of democracy,
right? January 6th, it's going to forever paint Trump a certain way by certain citizens. That's just the way it is.
It is. Yesterday, Peter Ducey with Fox News was asking Corinne Jean-Pierre, the press secretary, questions, just like so many others in the press. And he went back to that story that came out that Biden is only good for a certain part of the day. I think the first report, they said, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.? He asked what happens if there's a major international event outside of the time that Biden is with it.
Say that the Pentagon at some point picks up an incoming nuke. It's 11 p.m. Who do you call? The First Lady?
He has a team that lets him know of any news that is pertinent and important to the American people.
So he has the team, and we all know that Biden isn't necessarily making all of the decisions all the time. Yesterday was supposed to be a big day on the future of Biden as the Democrat nominee, and it looks like even though they kind of aired out without Biden in the room, their grievances, the Democrats are just going to, at this point, go along.
The whole thing just kind of fizzled out, right?
Yeah, and you had, now 7 House Democrats who have publicly, even after yesterday, called for Biden to renounce his bid.
How many have gone back?
Well, the 5 House committee leaders who privately over the weekend said that Biden needs to rethink running for a second term, at least one of them has now flip-flopped. That would be Jerry Nadler, the House Judiciary Committee ranking member. And remember, on Sunday, in a call with lawmakers, he said Biden should withdraw. Well, after the meeting yesterday, he said at this point he's the best candidate. He's the only candidate. Remember, only he can withdraw. He's been very clear that he won't, and that's the end of the story. He said during the meeting, more than 24 members spoke up and aired their opinions. Some said they were still on Biden's side through thick and thin. He had some flip-floppers and then still several who think the best move would be to drop out. But as of right now, it looks like Biden is going to stay the course.
Amazing stuff. 8:30, Dan and Dalton, Mobile Mornings.
FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. It's a Wednesday. Right now we head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
We are doing great. Another day of wet roads, it looks like, coming for a lot of us today after we've seen several like that previously. And you know what that means, Louie? That means car accidents, dings and dents, and at McConnell Automotive, you have just the right people to fix those dings and dents.
That's right, man. I was actually walking back to the body shop as we speak, looking at the new thing they're doing back there, and that's right. It looks like everybody's got a little rain going on, having those unfortunate accidents, don't forget, 476-4141. We'll take care of all your insurance needs, try to set you up with a rental car, and get anything, you know, happen with your car, and come see us. If you want to buy something, McConnellAutomotive.com, you can check us out. We've got plenty of, a lot of beautiful-looking trucks, half-ton, three-quarter-ton. I know the rodeo's coming up. Need a truck to pull the boat? We've got them pre-owned and we got them new. Three-quarter ton, half ton, one ton, just whatever you want. So just give us a call, 251-476-4141, or come back, come by and see us and say hi.
Yeah, and of course you have a lot of slick rides out there, some good-looking ones, and but you also have work trucks available too.
That's right. We got plenty of work trucks. We got a couple of actually got three half-ton regular cab long wheelbase V8s with the towing package. A lot of construction people like those trucks, and we got three of them sitting here. So come on by and see us.
All right. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Raddick. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and the website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
So because a lot of you have been responding on the on the text line this morning after we talked, I guess it was right before 7 o'clock, talking about Ranker.com.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a poll going, so these are the American citizens all around you have voted for the cartoon character. They were, if a cartoon character was going to be president, I guess it's got to do with the situation we're in right now with Biden and on some level, I guess, the choice being Biden and Trump. So why not a cartoon character? Batman, who I don't really think of as a cartoon character necessarily, but I guess he started out in the comics, right?
Well, and, you know, Batman, he's like the most revenge-minded superhero of any of them, right?
I mean,
other than the villains.
The left would destroy Batman for his, for his vengeful behavior in office.
Yeah, and he's rich, you know, he's loaded. Uh-huh. They won't like that. He can't be bought. And he's revenge-minded. So it seems like they'd look at him as a worse version, like a meaner version of Trump.
That's what I would think. So look, just trying to look at some of these, and then you think, you know, I mean, you can't get much more virtuous than Superman. I guess he's got some character flaws. I'm not sure.
Yeah, but he was not born in the United States, so I don't know if he's even eligible.
Okay,
yeah,
there you go.
Born on another planet.
Superman came in at number 3. Lisa Simpson is number 2, by the way.
Oh, that would not be good.
President Spider-Man? Does that sound like a good idea?
Wouldn't Lisa Simpson be the second best saxophone playing president?
She would. She would.
She would be number 1.
Ranker would put her behind Clinton.
That's right.
Papa Smurf, I think Supreme Court for Papa Smurf. I don't know that he needs to be president. Bugs Bunny, that one, I don't, you know, come on. Bugs Bunny, well, you know, Biden's in the bunker and he's in the hole.
Yeah.
So you've got that. Would there be a more incompetent president than number 14, coming in at number 14? Charlie Brown.
Oh, no.
He's incompetent at everything.
Yeah.
And yet some of you want him to be president of the United States.
Yeah, Linus might be a better president than Charlie Brown.
Linus is thoughtful. Charlie Brown's a dodo.
Yeah.
Hank Hill from King of the Hill is in the top 20.
Oh, okay. He's my number one then. He's my number one candidate out of all these cartoon characters.
What are they saying on the text line?
Well, you had Jason who said American Dad. Did you ever see American Dad? Pretty funny sitcom. I think that was a Seth MacFarlane one as well. He's like a CIA dad. He really has some dumb moments though too. But what cartoon character doesn't, right?
I like Archer, by the way. Have you seen Archer?
I love Archer.
Yeah, Archer's fun.
That is a great show.
Yeah.
Chris in Orange Beach said cartoon character for president. How about Richie Rich? Wait a minute. We already have him. That's Trump. That's what Chris had to say. And then he says Joe Biden is Elmer Fudd.
And Fudd did not make the list, for the record.
He's not on the list.
He's not on the top 20.
Jimmy Baymanette says Elmer Fudd. Yosemite Sam. Okay. Yosemite Sam would be a great president.
Yeah.
Joel,
he's got a pretty quick trigger.
He does. Yeah, we might need to keep the nuclear briefcase away from Yosemite Sam. Joel says Bozo the Clown. Texter here says Yogi Bear. All right. Uh-huh. But, you know, our enemies, all they got to do is put out the picnic basket, and, right? And then you've got him right where you want him.
He falls for that trick.
He does. Chris and Daphne says Jeff Dunham's old man puppet. Yeah, I think, I guess that's what we have right now, right? Is the old man puppet. Don says, I think Roadrunner should be our new president with the Coyote as the vice president. And I think someone else said Roadrunner too, because you've had, you know, you've had the Coyote trying to catch it forever, and he just never catches up.
Well, you know what I think that's got to do with, too? It's got to do with the energy vacuum that we're watching in with Joe Biden. He's got to go to – he gets up at 11 and then watches The Price is Right, and then he's kind of ready for a meeting, and then he's napping at 4.
Yeah.
So the Roadrunner brings what America needs.
The energy.
Yes.
He can work all day, all night, just keep it rolling.
He's good.
Yeah. Texture here. Hank Hill for president.
Yeah.
This is U-Haul Man. Hank Hill for president, proponent for propane-powered everything, loves football, and loves America. That's right. That's exactly why I think Hank Hill would be the best president here. Another one here, Biden is Elmer Fudd. Potlicker Rob says Trump should be deputy dog. And, yeah, others saying Biden is already a cartoon character. Okay. J-Bird with a picture of the old man from Family Guy. Herbert, I think was his name. Herbert the pervert. Anyway, yeah, the old guy there. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. So keep them coming. 251-343-0106. Also, this is what we've
by
talked
about. By the way, not making the top 20 was Popeye. Popeye, who I say, just pencil him in as Secretary of the Navy.
Yeah, he should be the Naval Commander.
And he's, you know, but... he's a rank and file guy, though. He's not ROTC, or he didn't. There's no. There doesn't seem to be a whole lot of officer in Popeye. He's just a guy that's swabbing the deck and all that. So maybe that's a little over his head.
Well, maybe. But you also know you won't be getting the woke DEI stuff.
No, sir.
Yeah, he's going to keep it straight.
Yes.
For you there.
Yeah.
Some other texts we've gotten this morning. Rock and Roll Doctor. Commenting on this City Council story. It's interesting. You know, the City Council said that they didn't really need to subpoena anybody after the mayor and others from the city said, hey, everyone's going to go along with these interviews. You don't need to subpoena them. We might run into an issue with the Zogby Act if you try to force anyone who works for the city to interview before the City Council's special counsel.
Yeah.
Well, yesterday they did vote, and it was a unanimous vote to give the special counsel the power to subpoena Kevin Levy, commander of the Gulf Coast Technology Center. Now, Levy and his attorney, Chris Callahan, said he's already sat voluntarily for hours of interviews.
5 hours, I think, is what they said, yeah.
But the special counsel saying they're not turning over certain documents and things that we want to see.
Right. That's
and
right.
So we need to subpoena him.
Remember Chris Callahan from the election season?
Of course, yeah. And I think we're talking about the same Chris Callahan.
I would think so.
Him getting involved, that's interesting as well. We talked about the popularity now of non-alcoholic beer, and this all from a story about Athletic Brewing, which I think strictly makes the 0% alcohol beer, and how they had $90 million in sales last year. They're now a top 20 beer company, and I've seen more and more people out there with them. Camera Guy says people drinking that are smoking weed. This texter says Walker Hayes promotes one. Yeah, I heard his interview with Feinbaum. I guess Walker Hayes had a pretty big fight with alcoholism, and still does, of course, if he's an alcoholic. And that was one of the things he did, was come out with a non-alcoholic beer and makes them available at his concerts.
I didn't know that. And Walker, good guy, Mobile guy, St. Mm-hmm. Paul's, and he was up in Nashville for years, and finally has carved out a decent little career here with some hits here recently.
The Applebee's song that put him on the map,
yeah.
And it's so funny. I guess as a dad, I can relate to that now. You know, he doesn't party anymore. Mm-hmm. Walker says he doesn't. And he wrote that song after going out to eat with his family. They wanted to go somewhere fancy, like Applebee's, which I was able to relate to coming from Grove Hill. Anything that where you sit down to eat, you're like, wow, this is a nice, you know, Outback. Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Applebee's. So just being a family man going out to Applebee's, he wrote that song, which became massive.
7 or 8 kids. So he is a family man for sure.
Yeah.
That's a lot of kids.
He's as family man as it gets. Jason says, how do police officers deal with a stop involving non-alcoholic beer? You know they can smell it, and why just smell drunk? That's a good question. I mean, if you have a non-alcoholic beer, are you legal to drive with one of those in your hands or no? I don't know. It'd be confusing.
It would be confusing.
And also you have all this CBD, which is quote-unquote legal.
Yeah.
How do officers know that it's not weed?
Well,
other than testing it.
People take so many different narcotics now. I mean, there's a lot of people probably shouldn't be behind the wheel and aren't drunk at all. They're just on their stuff.
Yeah.
Whatever that
legally stuff.
Yeah,
inebriated.
Legally.
Yeah. Let's see here. Mike says, Athletics IPA and their ale is awesome and tastes like beer. I love the IPA. I asked Mike, does it taste like a real IPA that has alcohol? He said, yes, sir. So a lot of texts on this morning. Let me see if I can get to a few more. And I know we have somebody on the phone lines right now as well. A couple more texts, just a second. Oh, we talked about Mike Gundy. Speaking of alcohol, kind of wallpapering over the arrest of his star running back, Heisman candidate Ollie Gordon, who had a DUI. And Mike Gundy came out and said, hey, if DUI is .08, and you look at the charts, that'd be about 3 or 4 beers for someone my size, is what Gundy said. He said, I've probably done that 1,000 times.
Yeah.
And so he...
You didn't have to say that, Mike.
Maybe unintentionally putting the spotlight back on him.
Yeah, he does that for about every 5 years.
It doesn't have meta, says Mike Gundy is Clover Valley Lane Kiffin. And Haywood said, Mike Gundy in trouble? Same Mike Gundy that let the world know he was a man
that
a few years ago?
That was a long time. That was like 2009.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. Let's see. We'll go to the phone lines here. And Joel in Somerdale wants to talk some about Will Ainsworth, the Louisiana governor. Is that right, Joel?
Yes, sir. He kind of rubbed me wrong with that interview, making the comment that, like, Highway 45, that's, I call it Death 45 because as many people have been killed on a two-lane highway, that the infrastructure for roads is kind of not important as the road infrastructure for North Alabama.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it kind of rubbed me real wrong on that subject right there.
Well, Joel, know, yeah, and I thought the same thing when I first heard and he was talking about Highway 43. So he's talking about the widening of the West Alabama corridor on 43. He wasn't talking about 45 there. But when I heard him say, why are we putting this money into Southwest Alabama when it could be used up here? I took offense to that too. But then he said his main issue is that John Cooper and Aldott and the state aren't doing everything they can to get matching money from the feds.
Yeah, grants, right.
He said there's a better way to spend this money and get more money from the federal government at the same time.
I got you.
And the other thing...
Yeah, because, you know, South Alabama, it seems like we're the redheaded stepchild
I agree.
Of the Alabama because the Bay Bridge is 20 years behind. Even for Highway 43, look how long they've been trying to come up with something with Highway 43. Look how far 43 runs before it turns into towards Waynesboro, a four lane. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just really dangerous. And I don't know. I just took it the wrong way. Maybe I need a replay and listen to it a little bit better. But it just seems like, you know, even the BP oil spill. North Alabama got BP oil spill. Mm-hmm. Money, and it's like, why?
That's
any bit of that money should have stayed down here on the coast.
Yeah, and I think because of
buddy.
Thanks, Joel. I think because of the BP oil spill and then everything regarding this bridge, that's why I and so many of you are extra sensitive to that. When you hear other people from other parts of the state, especially someone who might be the governor soon, saying, why are they spending that money in Southwest Alabama? It needs to be spent up here. I'm extra sensitive to that, but once I looked into it a little further, I think he was saying it's just being misspent.
Yeah, and also the fact that that was one of those interviews in Sand Hill in North Alabama. He was in North Alabama at the time of the interview. He might have felt less aware of the fact that the interview, in fact, was going to play in South Alabama. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe he was, you know, playing his cards a certain way.
He didn't have his guard up. But, well, we can talk to Jeff about that.
Yeah, Jeff will join us here in the next few minutes as we get ready for the Jeff Poor Show at 9. Also, real quick, your chance to win a pair of tickets.
Oh.
To see the tribute to Jimmy Buffett, Keep the Party Going, featuring the Coral Reefer Band. This show at the Wharf on Thursday, August 1st. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com for as low as $33.50. And right now, caller number 5 at 251-343-0106. Caller number 5, a pair of tickets to Keep the Party Going, a tribute to Jimmy Buffett. It supports Buffett's nonprofit charity, Singing for a Change. Caller number 5, you'll win a pair.
8:55 on Mobile Mornings, and we have got ourselves a winner.
We sure do. Congratulations, Joseph, picking up a pair of tickets to see Keep the Party Going, a tribute to Jimmy Buffett, featuring the Coral Reefer Band, and featuring a lot more names that you probably know, including Will Kimbrough, right here in Mobile. And so support Jimmy's charity, Singing for Change. Tickets as low as $33.50. And that's at Ticketmaster.com. That show Thursday, August 1st at The Wharf. We'll give away a couple more pairs of tickets as we wrap this week up these next couple days.
8:55, Jeff Poor with The Jeff Poor Show joins us now from the Fairhope Bureau. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Dan. How are you?
Doing great.
So, Jeff, of course, a lot going on nationally and in our state. You got the NATO summit. You have the questions about Biden's presidency. And then you had some really great interviews, and you've been playing some of them this week. And one of those was with Wes Allen, the Secretary of State. And he's kind of been on the national news scene after, well, I think 1819 may have been the first to report it last week or 2 weeks ago about the voter registration cards that are going out and sometimes to illegal immigrants. And now Republicans kind of taking that and saying, see, it's happening.
Right. So they're sending it out along with, you know, whatever the entitlement benefits, you know, social safety net stuff, voter registration cards. And, you know, some people, legitimately are eligible to receive these benefits, but not everybody. And there's no filter there, and that's what Wes Allen's getting at. And, do we think – and then the other thing about this guy is, like, do we think people that are receiving any kind of government assistance, I mean, where do you think they're going to vote? There's a lot of questions here about that, and Wes Allen's bringing them up.
Right, and the argument I've seen is that, well, even if these illegals aren't going out and voting, in states that still allow the ballot drop boxes or for people to kind of gather – up all these votes and take them in, that Democrat operatives are just taking these ballots and filling them out and taking them in for them. And not every state has a check on the federal elections and that proper identification is being used.
Yeah, I think that's a fair criticism. They, especially blue states, I don't know, there's just sort of this notion that more people the vote, the better, but they don't really take into account eligibility. I don't know. It's always been a Democrat hobby horse.
You know, but it's funny. Your guest in the 9 o'clock hour, John Merrill, when he was the Secretary of State, he was all about getting as many people to vote as he could. Remember?
Yeah, he would tout every appearance how many registered voters the state had and how much that had increased. I'm not saying it necessarily a bad thing, but I think it does seem rather targeted. It's not like you're going to the John Birch Society meeting with a bunch of ballots to fill out or applications to fill out.
Don't miss it, guys. John Birch members, don't forget about Tuesday.
So you have Joey Clark, hour number two, and then former State Senator Dick Brubaker in hour number three. That'll be an interesting conversation as his former opponent continues to campaign.
And the next segment, guys, listen, I'll explain Ainsworth's comments about North Alabama.
Okay,
so
okay.
Give you some clarity on that.
Yeah, we did have a caller ask about that. Thanks a bunch, Jeff. Your show's on the way. Have a good one.
Thanks.
All right, that does it. Jeff Poor Show on the way, and then Midday Mobile. Mobile Mornings will be back tomorrow morning at 6 right here on FM Talk 106.5.